Wake up, everybody, no sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Peace, shalom, and hotel family. This is your girl, Queen T. Well, actually, I should say my name first, huh? This is T. Makia Zarai, affectionately known as Queen T, and I welcome you to another broadcast of Zarai Speaks with my co-host, Dawa Bain, Israel, in Chicago, Illinois. And so we're going to get right into it, but let's first do the premises, what we have to do every week to let you know what Zarai Speaks is all about. And it is to provide a radio show that focuses on empowering Black men and women to step up to success in their families, their spirituality, their businesses, and their communities around the world. And although our main focus is concerning the Black community, there is no doubt that all communities can benefit from this show. And we plan to continue to bring to you a new flavor in radio, a forum that is designed with our listeners in mind. And with that being said, as I always tell you, we love feedback. So please visit us on our website at www.zaraispeaks.com. There you can leave your show tip, your show ideas, tips, concerns, and just any kind of feedback that you want to give us for our show. We're open to ideas. Okay. And you can also call and leave a message on our hotline, which is 203-ASK-ZARAI, 203-ASK-ZARAI. Now, with that being said, let me tell you and remind you that the motto of our show is radio that provokes you to think, as we uncover the truth that will make us free. We are not here trying to convince you of anything. All we're doing is bringing the facts that we have found out, and you can go and check it out for yourself. Be a researcher. Be an investigator. Find out for yourself, because we have a lot of work to do as Black people, and we cannot do it staying in the ignorant state that we have been in. And with that being said, I want to go ahead and continue on with our conversation. We were talking about the power of the Black man and the power of the Black woman, and we had a special guest with us who is Tisha Kushite Power. Are you there, sister?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We are going to continue from part one of this conversation. It got really hot and heavy on the last show, so let's just try to get back in there. And if you missed it, please go back and check out part one. All videos will be posted in the archives on ZaraiSpeaks.com as well as the podcast. But we were the last time we came off the air, Tisha, you were asking the question, what can we do, or what can the – well, you know what? Do you remember how the question was? Because I don't want to rephrase your question.
Yes.
Okay.
Since we had talked about what the Black woman can do as far as her listening skills, we want to know what can the Black man do as far as his listening skills.
Okay, right on. That's on you, Brother Dawa.
Okay, well, this is an excellent question. And I liken it to the constellations. I believe that we are all energy. I have learned as much in my few years on this planet. Mm-hmm. We're basically energy. And you liken male and female to sun and moon. Sun, S-U-N, sun, S-O-N. Sun in the sky, when it's shining, everybody has to feel. Everybody feels the power of this S-U-N or the shine. Everybody sees. Everybody. And you can't deny it. It will not be denied under no circumstances. When the sun is shining, it will shine through the clouds and whatever. You're going to feel it. You're going to notice it. Period. And sometimes it will be overbearing. That is just the energy of that sun. Or S-U-N or S-O-N.
Okay.
Synonymous. Now, It also brings an energy or a thought process of logic. But when it's balanced, it is logical. And it overstands emotion as well. But when it is not balanced, I'm talking about the S-O-N now, when the suns or the on the planet are not balanced, then they become egotistical.
Oh,
and this is the problem that we have today, is imbalancing in the men, where they're just egotistical. They don't listen to anything, especially not a sister, when there's just so much ego. And as you can listen to in some of the rap music, the S-O-N are speaking from an egotistical point, and they're always talking about shine. Listen to some of these songs, how many times they use the word shining. I'm shining. Mm-hmm. Look at my shine. Check my swag. These times, they want the attention that the sun, the S-U-N, the constellation, gets. And they're going to do whatever they have to do to get that particular attention, period.
Oh, wow.
I don't care what it takes. So they want these cars. They want this money. They want this bling. Think about this, the shining of the bling or the diamond. It shines. They say, I'm shining. Look at my ice. You can see me. I'm gleaming from a distance. You can see me from coming a long distance away. I'm shining just like the sun in the sky. I am the sun on earth.
Right.
And I don't let anybody tell me anything when I am not balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what some brothers have got to understand. Now, I just feel like I happen to be blessed with the energies to be able to deal with both. I know how to come logically, and I know how to, at the same time, balance the emotion so I can listen to a sister. Men have got to listen. And I'll say this also. Sisters, if you have a man and you want to be with this man, but yet still he never listens to anything you say, and you are right a lot of times. You have to understand, maybe he's imbalanced, and you need to ask the Most High in any possible way that he can fix this individual. But if there's no fixing, and you are at a level where you are higher, and he's dragging you, then you must ask the Most High to remove that situation or to fix it. And I believe the Most High will hear the sister automatically.
Right.
And
right.
Do whatever it is that she's asking to be done. So, and then if you don't have a male and you're looking for a certain type of male, you have to put that out into the constellation. Put it out in the atmosphere that you're looking for a certain type of man and be very specific. And I'm going to tell you this. When that man comes, do not run the man away. He may come, and he may be. That's why you have to be very specific in reference to what you want. Because you're going to call into existence what it is that you want. That's a fact. When you get to put it out there in your prayer, it's going to come back to you. So don't be afraid when it shows up.
Wow. Ooh. I agree. I agree, too. All right, let me jump in here because I got some things to say. I want to first of all say that I agree with you. I mean, now that you're talking about how men like the bling bling and the shining, I mean, we see that on TV and, you know, the young boys walking around. But it didn't really hit home until you just said that, because I was thinking about my son when he came home. I'm talking about the 14, well, he's 15 now. But when he came home and he wanted to wear this earring in his ear. And, of course, I'm like, you know, why you want to wear an earring? We went through this whole thing. And I finally gave in, let him wear an earring. I did. I let him wear an earring. But he went and bought the biggest earring he could find. I mean, just a big old fake diamond, about $5. About $5. And I didn't understand. And I said, son, why would you go put this cheap thing in your ear? He said, Mama, look how it's shining. I said, yeah, but everybody knows it's fake. I mean, people can look at your ear and tell that you have a fake rock in your ear. He said, yeah, Mama, but look, it's shining. That's all he kept telling me. It is shining. And I couldn't understand that. I'm like, okay, I thought that you would feel better if it was real. If it was real, and that, well, this is my thought process. I would rather have a real small, tiny diamond that cost me $50, $75 than to have this big old huge thing that cost me $5. Then we were in Chicago about a month or so ago, and we were, you know, at the restaurant, and this other brother walked in, had the same fake diamond in his ear. Much older than my son. I think like he was about 22, 23. He walked in with the same thing in his ear, too. While I'm going off on my son telling him how ridiculous it is to have that in his ear, this guy walks in with the same thing, and he's much older. So now my son looks at me and says, Mom, I told you so. I told you. This is the style. This is where people are wearing. And I still couldn't comprehend why would you want to the point of being fake. To the point of wearing fake stuff like that. Why would you want to even go? What's the purpose of it? So that really kind of made me start thinking about that when you mentioned that, because I couldn't understand why he didn't care about it being fake. All he wanted was the bling bling. Okay. And then the second thing I want to say, and then I'm going to pass it on to my sister. The second thing I want to say is we as black women, we have to understand, first of all, you got to understand who you are. You got to know who you are. People call me Queen T, but if I don't know myself as a queen, it really doesn't matter if you call me Queen T. If my mental don't match up with what you're addressing me as, it really has no effect. If I walk around, you know, just being I don't really want to offend anybody, but if I'm not keeping up myself and I'm walking around and I'm, you know, dirty and stinky and holy and whatever have you, strung out on the crack or whatever have you, I'm not looking at myself as this queen that everybody's calling me. So it doesn't really matter that you call me queen. I have to have the mentality to line up with what it is that you are calling me. I wasn't born with the name queen in my name. Okay, so I had to do some mind changing to even carry that title, if you will. I want to say that there's a couple that I had met with a while back, and it was a black guy and it was a white woman, and they were they've been married for like 15 years, I would say. And I had just met them. I met them with another friend of mine. And we were meeting them for lunch. And the funny thing is, and I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing this up, because it's going to tie into what you said, Brother Dawa, about us speaking or about you hearing or us speaking to you. We were sitting here with this couple, and we were on a business lunch. We were doing a business lunch. But it turned differently because as this guy was sitting across from me, my friend was sitting across from the Caucasian woman. And so we're sitting there talking, and I'm talking to him, but I found myself ministering to him, but not really, but really. Because as I'm talking to him, it was like his whole demeanor changed. He started to be in tune, if you will, to what I was saying to him. And I can tell that he was receiving what I was saying. So his wife turned to him and she says, I understand what you guys are talking about. I know what you're talking about. And I don't even know why she said that, but she came out with that statement. I understand what you guys are talking about. And he says something like, well, yeah, you know, Makia would just explain to me, because the reason why she said that, because she was talking to my friend and they wasn't paying attention to I thought she wasn't. But apparently she was paying attention to what we were saying. So she chimed in and said, I understand what you're talking about. I understand what you mean. But he no longer wanted to hear her. He was more interested in what I was saying. And I wasn't talking about business. What I was doing what I know to do as a black woman. Now, I'm going to say this because this is the truth. Every race cannot speak to our black men. Only us. They cannot speak to you. They don't know you like we know you. They don't understand you or overstand you like we overstand you. No one has been through that struggle with you but us. Even if we never lived together or knew each other. I can very well say that Sister Tisha, who's in Wisconsin, I'm sure with the struggles that she has gone through, so have I. I'm sure that the struggles that my brother Dawa, you know, he going through, they're different struggles because he's a man. I'm a female, but I'm talking about as far as being a black person. I can identify with him. But there's a thing that I always tell people, well, I always tell those who ask me, there is something that is on the inside of the brother that everybody can't talk to that. I call it a crawl. Or you can call it what you want to call it. But there's something in there. And we as black women, we have to know how to go there. And we need to know how to talk to that. That's where the king is at. It's right there. It's right there. Mm-hmm. A lot of our brothers don't even know that they're kings. And the only way that they will ever know if we come along and tell it to them. You can say you're a king all day long. You can call it out. You can study kingdoms and all that stuff. That is wonderful. But I'm gonna tell you straight up, I know from firsthand, there are certain things that I can say to someone that they've never heard before. They've never heard before. And it's only because the black man is in tune with the white woman. I'm sorry, the black man is in tune with the black woman, and the black woman is in tune with the black man, and the black man is in tune with the black woman. I get it right here in a minute. But the problem is that something's wrong with our frequency. There's a problem with our frequency. So instead of us talking to the black man or talking to that AKA crawl in him, that king in him, we talk at him and he's not hearing us. This is only from the female's perspective because I've never been a man. But he's not hearing me because I don't know how to talk to him. Okay, case in point, he had a rough day at the office, or not even office, working out here on the railroad or shoveling coal or picking up cans, whatever he was doing that day. He had a bad day. He had a rough day. He had to go out here and deal with corporate America, dealing with the fact that he still is being discriminated against, whether we want to believe it or not, racism still exists. Okay, he comes home and he wants to come home and have a quiet time. He wants to get his mind right. He wants to relax. Okay, we have to know as sisters, when he says, baby, not right now, you know, let's talk about it later, not right now. We have to know that he means not right now. But what do? We start coming at him. What's wrong? Why do you won't talk to me? Is it somebody else? Is it something that I've done? You know, we start getting all emotional and we're not understanding that he needs to rest his mind after his day. What we need to know how to learn how to do as black women, we need to learn how to be that place for him to rest his mind. That's why they don't hear us. In my opinion, because when he comes to you and he wants to rest his mind and you're not giving him that place, he shuts you down. He don't want to hear nothing you got to say. He don't want to hear you. Okay, sister, help me out.
This is so true. I know this from being in a 12 going on 13 year relationship. Well, basically, I want to sum it up saying that when our men are going through something out in the outside world, that we don't give them time to calm down and to lean on us and for them to come to us in their time of need. We automatically think it's about us. Mm-hmm. We automatically think that, oh, like you said, what did I do wrong? You know, it's just, that gets overbearing at times. Like I said, me being able to explain that, being in a relationship for 13 years, I used to be the same way, not understanding who I truly was and understanding what we were truly going through. I can see what we're going through, but I'm not understanding it. And I'm thinking that the man is being, you know, mean. You know, I'm going through something too. How he can't see that, but at the same time, I'm not going through a lot, not as much as him. You know, because he's out here facing a lot of racism and discrimination every day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every day in the streets. So I believe that as women, we should learn how to compromise more. Be gentle again, like we used to be.
Oh, the big C word, compromise.
Yes. Being understanding, you know, to him as well. Because I do know this no man is higher as his woman, and no woman is that, you know, high as her man. They're equal, always on an equal playing field, making sure both bring 125% to the table on each side. Not 50-50, always say 125 apiece. Mm-hmm. That's just my take on it right there. Because 50-50 is only half empty.
Well, since you said that, I'm going to ask this question after I bring in this scenario about Wildcats. I have a love for Wildcats. I love tigers. I love panthers. I love mountain lions. I mean, any kind of wildcat. And I don't like house cats, but I love Wildcats. My favorite to watch is the lion and the lioness. Okay. And the reason why I like to watch the lion and the lioness is because the way they operate, I'm trying to understand the way they operate, and it just seems to work for them. And I'm going to briefly just go through it, because I actually go to the zoo sometimes and I sit there for hours and watch them. It's crazy, but I love to watch them. Now, let's start with the lioness. The lioness is... she is faster. She's more leaner. She's built. Her body is built for her position in life. Her body is built for her position in the family. What is her position? Her position is to be the provider. Now, don't let that word scare us. The provider, which means that she has the will and the know-how to go out and get. This does not mean that the lion is not capable of providing. Does not mean that. It just means that the way that they have their family structure set up, since she is built for that, she is the one who goes out and stays. She stands watch and she scopes out the prey. And she brings the prey back to the, what they call it, den, or I guess they call it den. But she brings it back. And the one thing that was amazing to me when I first saw this, she brought it back. She drug this big, I forgot what she killed, the thing I was watching. I was watching some kind of Animal Kingdom show. But she drug her prey back to the den where the cubs were and the lion was. But what she did amazed me. She set it down and then she backed up. And she stood back and watched the cubs and the lion feed. Now, after that happened, I watched the lion and the cubs, after they got their bellies full, they got their bellies full, but they didn't leave her out. They saved her, her portion. And when they were done feeding, they backed up and she came in and finished it off. Now, we actually have a different, our mindset is different from that, because I heard Brother Dawa say I think on the first show, that the man is said to be the provider and all of that, and women are looking for that. They are looking for a man who has a good job, a man who is has a car. You know, I've heard young girls say, I wouldn't talk to him. He's on a bus. He's on a bus just like me. They are looking for a man who can move them from their parents' house and take good care of them. That's what they're looking for. So when you have that kind of mindset, you already have this thought process that if he does not have a job or good job, because they don't matter if you have a job. They want to know if you have a good job. You're making at least $10. At least $10. But if you don't have that, they look down on the man as being, I guess, less than, because he doesn't have the ability, they think, to go out and get the job that makes the 10, the 11, the $12 an hour. But what we don't understand as when I say black women, I'm not talking about all of us. I'm talking about the ones, you know who I'm talking to. I'll put it like that. What we don't understand is our kings were never, now please hear this. This is going to make some people mad. I don't really care. Our kings were never meant or created to work for another man. They were never created to work for another man. They were created to make their own wealth. They were created to create. their own way of doing things. When our men are forced, and when I say forced is because, you know, you got to make money, you got to take care of your family. But when you're forced to go and to punch the clock of another man, then you're taking away some of him. Like I said, people are going to get mad. It's okay. You're taking something away from him because now he cannot concentrate on his creativity. He's concentrating on punching that clock 8 hours a day, sometimes 12, 5 to 7 days a week. That's what he is concentrating on. He's not concentrating on the creativity that he has. But what we need to understand is if we help him to cultivate that creativity that's within him, he can make the money. He can build the kingdom. He can support all of us. He can support the neighbor who don't have food to eat. If we stood up and cultivated that in him. And when I say it like that, I'm not belittling a man at all. It's not about that. We have to get out of that mind frame that, you know, if I come in and help you pull some things out of you, that means you were weak in the first place. It don't mean that. It means that, again, my job as the queen in this earth is to cultivate my king. That's my job, is to cultivate him. And not just him. My job is to cultivate every brother that I come across. I don't have to lay with them. I'm not saying that. My job is to, if I see a king in you, or just even by saying to you, hey, king, how you doing? I just told you something that you've probably never heard before. And if you heard it, you probably didn't hear it from one of us. So therefore, you don't remember it. Because, again, only we can talk to our kings. Brother Dawa, what is your feedback on what you've heard so far? Because now you're getting inside the mind of at least two black women.
Okay. Well, back to the word I used before, balance. We are off balance. And if we go back to, again, I spoke in the first segment, the Wilderness Letter, when the thought process came down from the slave master, or my burden, and once again, master means my burden. It didn't mean that they were trying to say master and they couldn't say master. They were speaking Hebrew. Masa, it means my burden. They knew exactly. Yeah, it did. It knew exactly that this, in the day, that they were going through what the so-called biblical prophecies were in the Old Testament. So now his idea was to throw everything off balance. So he said, we're going to get into the woman's mind and that she will raise the children in reverse roles. So the girls will be independent and strong like her, and then the boys will be physically strong but mentally weak. Reverse roles, you see, unbalanced. Now, if we look, I dealt with the sun before, dealing and describing the man. Now I'm going to deal with the moon to describe the woman. Okay. Women are a lunar energy. If we look into the sun, if we look into the sky at nighttime, we see the moon. And the moon will not be denied. But the moon changes. The sun is constant. One body of light. There's no change in it. It's always a circle. It's always the same heat. Well, not always, but depending upon the atmosphere with the wind and things of that nature. But more than likely, we know the sun's going to shine, and the sun has the ability to do the same thing at all times. The moon changes. You will see some nights you look up, there's no moon at all. Some nights you look up, there's a sliver. Some nights you look up, there's a half of the moon. Some nights you look, there's a full moon. And under the cover of the moon, under the cover of night, people become to, and I don't want to be offensive, but I have to just break it down. An unbalance takes place when people don't know the power of the moon or the power of nightfall. And people, the emotions are high. Then they change just like the moon changes. Emotions are high. If you become what they call sometimes lunatic. Women are a lunar energy. They have a lunar cycle that they're supposed to go by that connects with them where they have a 28-day cycle, what we call it a menstrual cycle. Women are in tune with the moon and supposed to be. We have to understand that. But when there's an unbalancing, when there's an unbalance, when things are off balance, then she becomes to the point where she is a lunatic. Now, we also have those, just to tie this all together, there's a certain health food bar. Now, I'm going to put y'all on some health. Go to the health food store. You see what I'm talking about. There are certain bars at the health food store that are called, the brand is Luna, L-U-N-A, short for Lunar.
Okay.
Or the lunar system of the moon and things of that nature. Those are for women. They're designed for women. Just to let you know, I'm not trying to throw anything at a sister. I'm just saying that when we're off balance in our natures, then there's a problem. So women have to understand, and men, that women are going to change. They're up and down, just like emotions. And also, when a woman is pregnant, there's a sliver of the belly. There is the half moon of the belly. Then there's the full of the belly, the 9-month cycle, when she's ready to drop. And then once the baby's gone, then we go right back to not being able to see anything, just like the moon is gone. Women are very in tune, they're supposed to be very in tune with the lunar cycle. We just have to make sure that she knows this and that we know it, so that we can deal with one another. And together, when we are balanced, well, there's the constant energy of the sun, S-U-N, S-O-N, and then there's the constant energy of the womb man, or the moon man, or whatever you want to call it, the black woman, and us, with our emotions, versus our, or not versus, but lines up with our constant energy. There's a change with the women, and there's a constant energy with the men. We have to understand that. Women are not going to always be the same and think the same. So sometimes men have to draw back and stay right there, stay in that logical state of mind. And eventually, she will go through the metamorphosis of the change, the sliver, the half moon, the full moon, and right back all over again. She will come back full circle. We have to understand that, and she needs to understand that as well. The key here is balance, which is basically going back to the Willis letter when he said there has to be a phenomenon. The phenomenon that's going to change everything back to what? Balance. Because he threw off the balance. That's it.
Wow. I want to say about too, because I was thinking as you were talking about the Luna, the sun, and the moon, Luna, the moon, and the sun. I was thinking about Erykah Badu's song where she said, I think it's called Orange Moon. Have you all heard that song before?
I haven't. Okay.
You need to pull that up and listen to that. And one of the things she says in there, she says, I'm an orange moon reflecting the light of the sun. Okay, that's what she said. And it took me several listening times to understand what she was saying. I'm an orange moon reflecting the light of the sun, S-U-N, and the S-O-N. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so that means that if the sun is not shining, then I can't reflect you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be a reflector of you. So men have to understand that they have this light that they have to shine. I mean, I love how you brought that whole call it a concept, but it's a concept teaching. You got into the astrology of it, because a lot of us, first of all, we don't even think about the sun or the moon because we've been taught in Christianity to not even look at that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught not to look at, when I say not look at it, but I mean not look physically look at it, but don't start looking at the stars and the sun, the moon as anything more than what it is. It's up in the sky, it's lighting the world, and that's all you're going to get. But there's so much more to it than that. And because we're taught not to even study that, we don't get this type of teaching about what the sun does, what the moon does. So I really like how you brought that. And so we're coming down to about, 15 minutes, I think, left in the show. Let's talk about what can we do, and I'm going to start with you, Brother Dawa. In your opinion, what can a woman do to, get you to listen to her more or to open up to her more? You know what I mean? What can we do on our part? Because we don't listen, and we don't know how to talk to you. So what can we do to fix that? Or at least start fixing it.
Well, she has to understand that we're different. we're two different energies, but we're in the same planet. It's like the sun and the moon. They have their respective times where they are the greater body of light or whatever in the sky. We have to realize that there are certain times when the man is going to shine with logic, and there are certain times when the emotion is going to be in charge. Everything can't be all logic. Everything can't be all emotion. Women have to understand and listen. Study this, what I just said. Get into the psyche of what makes man man. Get into the psyche of what makes man constant like the sun. There's not much, like I said, there's really no change in man. Man is simple. He's going to shine and you're going to see. Guaranteed. That's just the way it is. And he's going to draw that type of energy. Period. He wants that. When he comes in the house, now there's when men are balanced, when they walk into a house or into a room, all of the children respond. All of the seed that come from this man respond in a positive manner when there's a balance there. Women have to understand that men bring logic. We cannot get off into your emotions. It's not who we are. It's like this, I said before. The sun and the moon, they don't operate in the sky at the same time. They both have their respective places. The sun has to respect the moon and go. It doesn't really move. We think that the sun moves. The moon, the sun is constant. And the sun gives light to all of the damn planets. Like you said, there's a reflection. Like in the song, the moon is a reflection of the sun. Exactly. But women have to understand that. You have your respective place, but you're not the sun. I have my respective place, but I'm not the moon. We are together, logic and emotion together, battery, positive, negative. We come together and we energize and bring light and movement to whatever is riding with us. Put it like that, like a vehicle. Okay, so women have to understand that a man is not you. Man don't think like you. We don't think. There's some things I'll put this out there for another conversation. I'm just going to throw it out there. Men, like I'm going to say this, let me put it like this. There's one sun. All of the planets have to draw energy from that one particular sun.
Okay.
Now, that right there is polygyny on a constellation level.
Okay.
All of these planets have to draw from that one particular sun. They can't fight and argue. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know where I'm going? They
yes.
can't fight and argue over their portion. Well, I want my portion. I want a bigger portion than you. No. Y'all have to play their own perspective roles. Now, just think if the constellation of the sun and the moon was arguing like we do.
We'd be in trouble.
Think about that. We'd be in a world of hurt. But they are in their proper places. There is a balance in the constellation. Now, from our attitude here, it goes into the atmosphere and throws an imbalance in the constellation. And they rain down terror upon us because they have to get things balanced down here because it goes back up. It rises up. The women have to understand, once again, men are not like them. We don't think like women. We think logically. And that logic is constant. That's why women run from man to man to man to man, because they're trying to change him. You are the one who changes. We're constant. We don't change in our balanced state. That has to be understood. And listen to the man when he talks. When he tells you how he sees the world, you have to listen. Because you must realize, and this is very key, that you were separated from this man. A lot of women grew up without their father, too. So they don't really know how to relate to a man in their lives sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes they don't know how to relate. The man can't come in, you ain't telling me what to do. Well, see, they never had a father telling them what to do. Or giving them any type of order or direction, I would say. They never got used to the presence of a man and listened to the voice of a man, the deepness of the voice of a man, the commanding voice of a man. So they have to realize that you have got to listen. If a man is on some knowledge and some wisdom, he can teach you something. Just listen. You have to listen to him. Let him explain to you how he sees the world in which he is the king of.
I got that. I'm going to tell you something that, you know, it's going to be, on lines of what you just said, but I don't know if you ever saw this before, but I don't think you have because you just mentioned that they don't really operate in the same time. That's the sun and the moon. And I agree with you. You've never seen them, you know, fighting for the same space. But what I did see, and I didn't even see this time I moved to Arizona. It rained one day, which, you know, we probably get rain 3 times out of the year, if that. It was raining one day, and I was driving. I was driving west towards California. And what I saw was the sun and the moon side by side. I had never, ever, ever seen that before. And I thought that was like very, I don't know. It did something to me because all I could think about when I saw that, I thought of the king and the queen side by side. They didn't fight for the space. They didn't come in here and say, you know, it's daylight, moon, so what are you doing here? You know, it was daylight. But the sun shared the space with the moon. And that's how I saw it. That's how I saw it. And until we learn that we have to do this thing together and we have to share the space. You don't overtake my space. I don't overtake your space. We share the space in order for us to build this nuclear that we're supposed to have as a family. Now, I want to ask you, Tisha, the same question I just asked Brother Dawa, but, you know, from the female's point of view, what can we do or what can they do in order to so that they can hear us? What can they do on their part to hear and understand what we're trying to say to them?
I believe that can you hear me?
Yes.
I believe that equal respect, the man could listen to us too and not always go by this society of things that the man is macho, the man thinks better than the woman. Like Brother Dawa said, we don't think alike. Men think with logic, but there are women who think with logic too. Men are not the only ones who think with logic. The woman is logical as well as the man. And it's a point of those two people being together to offset each other. And I also went on to speak about how some men and some women are not in tune with who they are and who they're supposed to be. And I believe that once the man stops being scared of letting go of this, he also has a materialistic thing going on with him too. And it's because of the conditioned mind of the African man and African woman. We have begun to take on their culture and love the things that they have instead of trying to go back and find out who we are or were as a people and how we can apply those attributes to our life of today or how we live today so that we can better complement each other. So the woman has a lot to offer too if the man can come down off his patriarchal high horse that he has been born into, and it's also in the male's DNA to continue up with this macho brute force of things. Some men can think logic where others only think with their sheer bruteness and the fact that they are men and that they, and it says in the Bible that man was created first and man is to do this and do that, but that does not always mean that man can make the right decision.
I think, and I could be wrong, but I'm just going to try to maybe do a little clarity of what Brother Dawa was saying, if I can. Not that women don't think logically as well, but I think he was saying that that's what they do. They think logical. We think logically, and we have emotions. I just make it a point that they don't really have that emotion thing going on with them. They are just logic, and that's it. I mean, I'm sure they got some emotion. I'm not saying that, but they don't operate that emotional state as much as we do. So they're more of a logical thinker or a logical person than we are. We do both. Just like we actually have the ability to not have children, and we have the ability to have children. That's two different things. We are woman. We are a man with wounds. And so I think that's what, now please correct me, Dawa, if I, you know, I don't have any problem with you correcting me if that's not what you were saying, because I can understand what Tisha is saying, that we do, I know, I think logical on something, you know, a lot of things, I have to. We actually get forced into that position when we don't have the man around. We have to think logical as well as being emotional. Otherwise, we can't even survive in this society, period.
I believe that's why we are so emotional, because most of us don't have the man around that we need, and we take on so many different roles, and we do so many different things, and it's easy for a woman to just break under that kind of pressure.
Yeah, I feel that, too. I feel that, too. But at the same time, sis, a lot of times, the man don't have to do anything, and we're emotional anyway. Our body is going through so many different things every month. We're going through our menstrual cycle. We're going up and down. You know, then we have this whole thing that they call menopause. I don't know what the hell that is. But, you know, our bodies go through so many different things every month. So even if you have the best man rubbing your feet, you know, kissing the back of your neck or pulling your hair, whatever, when you have that, that still does not stop us from being emotional. That's what I'm saying, because that's a part of us. That's how we are, that's what we're made of. And as Brother Dawa just explained, you have to know that it has something to do with the lunar system and the sun and all of that, because we're in tune with the, what's the word I'm trying to say? Help me, Brother Dawa. So I'm trying to explain
to you.
Okay, because I'm trying to explain what you were saying.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I just had to go back and think about what he said when he did explain that when a man sees the woman on her emotional trip, he has to take a little step back, you know. And like you said, we do have different places. We just need to understand each other's places.
Yeah,
or our roles in our relationship, you know, or in society.
Mm-hmm.
There's a key to it. Key word.
Okay.
Balance. That's why I kept saying, if when everything is balanced, when the male is balanced and the female is balanced, let's break it all the way down. And this may anger some brothers, but according to science, before, when a woman is pregnant, basically that's a female until it turns into a male. Now, I'm going to say this now, to offset that too, the Almighty knows whether it's going to be male or female, but it just don't show up on these white folks in their laboratories or whatever, under their microscopes or whatever, in their ultrasound machinery until a certain time. Almighty already knows what it's going to be. But still, I say that to say this. Males have logic and emotion. But we are mainly logic.
Okay.
And when we're balanced, we're mainly logic. It's a terrible thing to see an emotional man. That is a horrible sight. And it is also a horrible sight to see an over-logical, egotistical type of manly woman.
Mm-hmm, right. Sure is.
It's balanced. So the woman has logic, yes, indeed, but she's mainly controlled by emotion.
Okay.
So when we come together, as you saw the sun and moon together, that's letting us know we have to look and pay attention to the constellations and what's going on in the sky. That was a message to you. That was a message to you, letting you see, okay, these two bodies, sun and moon, male and female, can come together in one sky as in one earth. We can come together and be side by side and rule together. It's like king, queen, emperor, empress, same energy. So, yes, we do both. We possess both. But we as men are mainly logical. Women are mainly. That's the balance.
And I want to say, even with us being so emotional, and I've touched on this before, but a lot of different religions, they play on our emotion. They use our emotion to control us. I used to always wonder why, and I'm going to get on the little church box for a minute again. I always wondered why there was more women in church than men. Have you guys noticed that? Every church I've been to,
there's always more women.
It's always more women. And I used to think it's because of the male shortage. Now I'm coming to understand it's not that. Yes, there's a male shortage. There is a male shortage for us. We know that. But I came to understand and realize just by my last 6 months of being in the church, I watched everything. And what I noticed was the women's emotion was being played on. And when you play on the woman's emotion and you start controlling the woman's mind, she in turn goes back and takes it to her husband, who's not at church, by the way, takes it to her husband, which in turn takes it to their children. And I used to always wonder why I knew this older couple at the church. Well, actually, she came to church every Sunday, every prayer, Wednesday prayer. Sunday morning, she was there praying. Sunday night, she was there, serving, being a church mother. But I'm going to tell you, I've never, ever, ever saw her husband before. He was sending his tithes every Sunday, faithfully, but I never saw him. And I wondered, and I asked the question, why don't we know, where's her husband at? Is he sick? They said no. Can he walk? Yeah, he can walk. Is he work on Sundays? No, he at home. I didn't understand why she's there and why he wasn't there. And this is just my speculation, I guess you want to call it, is that men are logical. They're logical. And when you start hearing stuff that don't really make sense to you, you kind of back up off of that. We, on the other hand, all you got to do is make us feel good. Now, like I said, I'm not speaking for every black woman, but I know I'm hitting on the majority of us because I've been in the church scene all my life. I've seen it. As long as, you give us the good music, as long as, you give us a program once a month that we can run, as long as you let us be the head of the usher boards and things like that, and you let us be the air warriors. And, as long as you let us do that and keep us busy like that, we're okay with it. But the man is at home, and what is he? Is the man waiting for us to wake up and get it together? I don't know. But I've always wondered that. Yes.
You let me speak to that? Okay, that goes back to what I said before. The sun, S-U-N, shining, S-O-N, on earth. Is a replica of that which is in the sky. Now, preachers shine. They're automatically going to draw attention of women. As I said before earlier, that sun, all the other planets draw energy off that sun. They need that sun. They love the way the sun makes them feel. And look, now, same thing in the church. Pimps and preachers, this may anger some people, who cares? Pimps and preachers are one and the same. I'm going to say again, pimps and preachers are one and the same. Pimps have a good mouthpiece. They have a way with words. Women are emotional. So it gets into the emotional mindset of the woman. It gets right into her psyche, emotional. Then so does the pastor. The pastor has a way with words, the way he squalls. He looks a certain way. He's shining. He got the nice car. So does the pimp. He got money in his pocket. So did the pimp. The woman brings the money to that pastor. Pimp gets some money too, but the pimp, they got to make her do some things. But when you see pimps, you see women. Period. You see women. And when you see the pastor, you see women too. Why? Because I would say this. The pimp is colder than the pastor. Oh, no, excuse me. I'm sorry. Let me reverse that. The pastor is colder than the pimp. Because the pastor, he don't have to watch the woman. He don't have to look over her to make sure nobody beats her up. She gonna still get the money at the end of the day because he makes her man JSUS. That's what he tells you. He gives her a psychological man to look at. He takes her right back to what? The S-U-N. He got her looking up in the sky while he's a representation of the same S-U-N here, calling her S-O-N on the earth. He manipulates her because he knows that she's the moon. And he's the sun. He's the strongest body of light in the sky. He knows he's going to draw her. He knows she is a reflection of him. And he manipulates her. This is why you don't see that many men in there, because me and Pete gang. We see. We know. Now, I may be selling, I may be giving some game away that's supposed to be sold, but it don't matter to me because I ain't no pimp. But this is the way it goes among men. We know I have some BS. He just speaks in women's emotions, and I ain't going to sit up in there and hear that garbage. We know. As again, that's logic. When he says a few things, and he has a very charismatic way of saying what he says. Plus, there's the instruments, the music, and see, women deal with certain things. That, like we said before, they're emotional, of course, and they deal with all of this trouble. Okay, my son gonna come home today. Okay, what's gonna happen to my daughter? Is she gonna end up pregnant or too early? Am I my food stamps gonna be cut? I'm gonna lose my job. My man gonna get fired. Is he gonna leave me? All these types of things she got to deal with, plus the household. All that stuff is weighing on her. So she needs a release. She goes to the Sunday church to get a release of all these emotions. So she's jumping, dancing, she's shouting, she's screaming. She's going off into almost a trance. And if you watch the movie, Goodbye, Uncle Tom, Goodbye, Uncle Tom, you will see that the slave master used to not even allow us to be in a church, period, none of us, until he found a way to pimp us with religion. And we, in order for us to accept it, because we didn't even want to accept the white man's Christianity, in order for us to accept it, we had to bring in some African spirituality. That's the dancing and the shouting and the drums and the going into the trance. That's us. That's how we was able to deal with it. And he said, let's go back to the wilderness letter. The white man said that when you get a black person or black people to be into religion, the deeper they are into religion, the more humble, docile they become. Now the preacher today is the white man in the pulpit because he's giving you the white man in the sky. If the white man in the sky is there with his father, you better believe his father is white too. So he's giving you the European nine thought process, the God concept, the white male. It's just a black face that's preaching today.
Wow. That kind of really answered what I was about to say. Well, I was going to make a statement. And what I was the statement I was going to make, Keith, I'm going to bring you in here in a few seconds. But the statement I was going to make was, if that's the case, I heard you say before that the man is going to shine. So if the man is going to shine, my question to you was, and you've already answered it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The question was, what is the man at home doing that he is not outshining the pastor / pimp in the pulpit? But you've already answered that for me, unless you want to expound on it, and you said it's religion.
You said, you say the last part one more time?
It's religion.
Right.
That was my question.
See,
I said you already answered it.
Well, see, with some men, Queen, let me just put it to you like this. Men find a way to shine. They have to find a way to get the attention of women. This is just some men's a way to do so. This is their way to get the attention of many women. And this is why some pastors, they claim, they talk monogamy, but they have an intercourse with a lot of women in the church, period. That's just the reality of it, period. Mm-hmm. See, and that's his way of hiding sometimes behind the fact that he really desires to be like the sun and having other planets, other feminine energies or whatever, surrounded or gravitating toward him. But the only way for him to really do it is, I'm going to have to give me a scheme. What am I going to do? These women. Okay, I can become a pastor. Open up me a church. I'm going to automatically draw women. I'll be fed all the time because women are going to always want to feed me. They're going to be competing to cook me the best meal. Oh, my goodness. It's, being a pastor today in our community is the biggest pimp game ever. Mm-hmm. Period. And men know this because they've done the research. Logically, look at some of these, the pimp Bible. Look at how they do. Listen to some of the things they say. Now, a logical man like myself can't stand no pimps. I can't stand them. I know what they're doing. They're manipulating women. But so are pastors. I can't stand them either. They're manipulating the women either. They're off balance. These two men are off balance. These pastors who are not giving people the real meat and potatoes of who they really are and not drawing them toward this white boy in the sun, in the sky, but dealing with the man on earth, the so-called black man, being the sacrificial lamb on the planet, because that's who we really are. If they're not talking about that, then I don't respect them. Neither do I respect no pimps.
Got it. Tisha, you got what you want to say about that, sis? Look, I'm like, oh, my goodness. The church is definitely the biggest thing ever. And the reason why they're able to attack us with religion, because they know we are very highly spiritual people. Mm-hmm. That we always were very highly connected to the Most High Creator. We always were connected to the earth. That's why we worshiped, we looked at the sun as a high deity, the waters, the land, the food, the animals. They know where we were. They know that we established this spirituality system years and years before there was a Jesus Christ, before there was a Muslim, the Islamic religion. They knew that the Jews of old, of Ethiopia, had already established a religion-based system, and by them being always connected with Africa, they learned from the Africans. They were taught from us. We were everywhere. They took everything that we had, because in the ancient times, like I said before, women were oracles and sibyls, priestesses, and considered goddesses, the same as men who were high priests and considered gods. But this power was only bestowed to the African people, and we only could do these great powers for other people. The work can only be done through us. So they didn't want to have, see, that's why I say this goes all the way back to overseas in the ancient times. They didn't want to have to rely on the ancient African system of things anymore. They didn't want to have to rely on us giving the divinations, on us telling them who can be in power. They didn't want to deal with that anymore. So they usurped that power, and they then turned it around on us. Now, we must know that it took 300 years after they closed down the ancient mystery systems of Africa. It took, I believe it was Constantine, but I want to be very specific on that. He is one of them. But another Roman emperor, it took 300 years to actually close out that whole ancient African system, things, the way how we worshiped our creators. And the earth, and how we had balance, and how we gave power, and how that's why we had so much, because we, like you said before, the man is not born, was not created to work for another man. We worked for ourselves. And that's why the African nation was so rich for so many thousands and thousands of years. So it just took it took 300 years out of a 12,000-year system to be broken. It took 300 years for them to actually close it all the way out and usher in what we know is the white Jesus, white God, Christianity, all male apostles. So they know this, and this is how they're able to break a veil, and especially get to the woman, because she's looking at all males as God. She's not looking at no one. She's not even looking at herself. She's looking for this man to do everything for her, this invisible man, instead of looking to herself, digging within herself.
Right.
And bringing that positivity to herself and to her family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why now I see what he means when the man does think more logical in that sense, because most men are like, okay, whatever, I don't really, I hear it,
But I really don't get with that. It's the woman who brings all these things. As I remember when growing up, my mom would say to my stepdad, we going to do this such and such, such and such. And he would be like, well, okay.
Right.
You don't really want to do that. But he do it just because, okay, well, she said let's do it. I don't know why the woman want to do it anyway. You know, that's what he'll be saying to me, you know, me being on the tight. So he'll be talking to me like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with your mama. She just, you know, she's that strong-willed person. And she went with whatever, we went with whatever she did. So I can see how the woman is the one who can be able to restore this balance back to the home and back to the African family.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, we got about 5 minutes left according to my time here. But I did want to say on that note that a lot of the stuff that we're going through, a lot of issues that we have as black women is because we were taught this, and I said it before, I'm going to say it again because people don't really want to admit this, but our mm-hmm. mothers, for the most part, many of our mothers were wrong.
Yeah.
They were wrong, and they were not wrong because they deliberately taught us wrong. They only taught us what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
But just because they taught us what they knew does not mean that it was wrong. You know, I came up in a family where my dad wasn't there with us. My parents were divorced, but my mother got remarried again twice. But that didn't really do anything for me as a young lady because he wasn't being a father figure to me. He was married to her. He ain't had nothing to do with me. Okay? But when I said that to say this, is that even watching her getting married over and over and over again, watching her interaction with these men, you know, and please, I'm not trying to say my mom was out there. I'm just trying to say she'd been married a few times, okay? But just watching and listening to her being angry at them, the way they were, their relationship, and I'm just listening, and I'm learning that, you know, when I get big, I'm not going through that with a man. I'm not going to be dealing with that with a man. So you watch your mother. You watch your mother, and you watch her interaction with her man. You listen to how she talks to her man. Your mother sitting there, she's constantly fussing and cussing at her man. I'm going to grow up thinking, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I listened to it. I watched it. And that goes right back to what we've been saying both shows. The mother is the first teacher. Now, the father is a teacher as well, because if I'm watching my dad and my dad is constantly beating women, I'm going to grow up thinking that that's what, I guess you're supposed to go through that. So when a man hit me in my eye, I'm going to be like, well, you know, if he say he's sorry, it's okay. Because my mother got hit in the eye constantly. I'm not saying my mom did, I'm just saying,
right.
You know, hypothetically speaking. But I watched my mother get abused. I did. My dad abused my mother before she left him. I watched that. But, and even with that, I even put that in one of my first book, I think it was. And I said that I did not want to marry anybody that was just like my dad. But now that I'm older and he's no longer here physically with me, I understand that I need to be with somebody like my dad. Not his characteristics as far as him being wrong and beating women and all the stuff that he was doing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the fact that he was strong, he liked to called himself trying to teach me when I got older and talk to me and I didn't want to listen. You know, now I'm in a point to where now I want to, it's different things. There's different things about him that I know I have to have that in my life for me to continue to function the way I was, because he just left me, you know, at this time. So with that being said, I want to say that this has been an awesome show, and we're running down to about 3 minutes. So if anybody have any last words you want to say as far as, you know, pertaining to this subject, which we will revisit again, because you can't get this all done in one or two shows. We have to do this again. But anybody have any last remarks?
I'm going to allow the sister to shine, and I'll shine it later on.
Tomorrow Moon.
Okay. Well, my last remark I would like to make would be for everyone to really do research on who they are. We must know our ancestral roots.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, roots. Roots are like, you know, that's how the tree lives. We are like people with, we are like the trees with no roots.
Mm.
They gave us the movie Roots, but that's not it. We have to go farther than that. We have to go to a time before the time to know that we are great people, that there was no one on earth like us, and that we can be great again. And that's how I want to end that.
That was wonderful. So I just want to take this time real quickly to thank you, my co-host, Brother Dawa Bay Israel out of Chicago on the Y'all Israel Hour. And check us out, check him out and me. We're going to be, well, I guess by the time they get this show, we'll be done with it, huh? But check him out on, go to his website, yahisrael.com, yahisrael.com, and you can find out when his shows are aired in Chicago, Illinois. So I want to thank you, my co-host. And I want to thank you, our special guest, Tisha Kushite Power. And you can find all of us on Facebook. Okay, so thank you for joining us. And until next time, one love.
Thank you.